Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q4 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukund Kabra, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, CFO from Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you all.
Good afternoon, all. It is a great pleasure to address you and discuss our quarter four results for the financial year 2019-20. We hope that you and your families are doing well in these difficult times. At Advanced Enzymes, we are taking all safety precautions to safeguard the health and interest of all our employees and customers during this COVID-19 crisis, as safety is our topmost priority. In the first segment of this call, we will be taking you through the earnings and the business highlights, and then we will open up the floor for questions and answers. We are proud to announce that we are again positive on all the parameters of our goals for this financial year, and we strongly believe in delivering long-term value to our esteemed shareholders. I'm glad to announce that we have a decent growth in profitability because of our product mix. Our business in India has also delivered good results and has seen 11% growth. In past, we have explained that our annual financial results is more relevant to look at our performance and also for comparative purpose. We are proud to say that for the first time, our EBITDA crossed rupees 200 crore and stood at rupees 202 crore, 46% of sales, increased by 11% from rupees 182 crore, 43% of sales in financial year 2019, and our PAT increased by 15% and stood at rupees 133 crore, 30% as compared to rupees 116 crore, 28%. As mentioned earlier, sales to our topmost customers is on the declining streak for third consecutive year. In financial year 2020, the contribution stood at 9% of our total revenue as against 17%, which was last year. We have made very great progress in integrating EVOX, which is our German subsidiary, and we keep our goal intact to consolidate. The integration process between AETL and EVOX has accelerated, which resulted into the EVOX turning PAT positive on standalone basis in financial year 2020 and is growing steadily. This has happened for the first time since our acquisition. Financial year 2020 was a challenging year for us because of the consolidation and synergizing all our different resources. We are committed to grow without sacrificing our margins and continue to create the stakeholders' value. To end with, I would just like to say the outlook for financial year 2021 right now is difficult to predict or give any guidance. This is because the very fluid and dynamic situation with Corona. In recent times, we have seen disruption of supply chain, logistics issues. Our R&D units are still not functioning. Some of our R&D units are still not functioning. In our offices, we are still working from home. Because of all of these disturbances, the impact, the work is lagging. And once we get the clarity, we will be able to give you more clarity how the year should pan out. But we expect in such a tough situation, we are here to be different. Now, let me hand over this to Rauka, our CFO, who will walk you through the company's financials. Rauka?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mukund. I will just take you briefly through the company's financials. And to start with our annual financial performance, because that's what we have been telling from time to time that is more relevant for how to evaluate our company's performance and how to judge the performance of the company. So revenue this year, FY 2020, is increased by 6% to 44 million from 4,196 million to 4,440 million. And our EBITDA is, as Mukund has mentioned, first time crossed 200 crore mark. So it is 2,023 million as compared to 1,819 million. So roughly 46% of our sales, and the increase is about 11%. Our profit before tax is increased by 11% from 1,620 million to 1,792 million. So from 39% of sales to 40%. So there's an increase of 1% on our PBT. PAT is increased by rupees 171 million, a 15% increase from the previous year of rupees 1,159 million, which was about 28%, to 1,330 million. So roughly it is 30% of our sales. On quarter-to-quarter performance, this quarter, the revenue is decreased by 15 million. So the impact on EBITDA of about 43 million and on PAT about 19 million. On year-on-year basis, last quarter and last quarter of the previous financial year, there's a decrease of about 1 million in our top line, that is the revenue. This was 1,014 million. So it is 1,103 million. And EBITDA is decreased by 11 million. PBT is decreased by 33 million. And PAT is decreased by 8 million. So these are like on quarter-to-quarter and year-on-year numbers and financial year complete YTD numbers, which I have mentioned to you. Evoxx, our top line, I mean revenue, stood at 264 million this year with a PAT. This time, this is the first time after the acquisition, Evoxx on standalone basis is earning profit after tax. This is about 21 million. And JC Biotech, our top line was only 424 million. And the largest customer, and as you know, that is the one number which we always track. This year, the total annual sales to one of the top most customers is only 385 million as compared to 719 million. So this directly impacts our revenue of our U.S.-based company. So in U.S. business, we have witnessed a degrowth of about 10%, and that is mainly because of that customer. If we remove those numbers, then U.S. business has grown by 10%. Our top 10 customers contribute about 35% of our total revenue. Last year, we had about 44%. So there's now more deconcentration of our sales. So with this, now would like to commence the question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Badjatya from HNI Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the opportunity. Just wanted to understand that
while we have witnessed a sharp decline in the revenue from largest customers, in spite of that, our overall revenue has not been impacted that much. So we have definitely grown, if we exclude the non-top customers. So can you highlight that, you know, from, and even if I look at your segments, different segments, there's not much change there. So can you highlight that, how come that, you know, we have lost the largest customer, but we have gained another customer in the similar segment? So just wanted to have an idea as to what is driving this replacement.
Yeah, I mean, this is because, you know, this particular customer is a US-based company, so it has directly impact on, you know, our revenue of US company. But of course, we have seen a very good growth in India. So India domestic market, we have seen a very good growth, about, I think, 17%. And then from India, the export has also gone up by about 45%. So that's how, you know. And then another good thing is Evox also, the top line has gone up. So these three things has contributed, you know, and somehow whatever loss we had, so that has compensated. And that, you know, those sales are not to a particular customer. So there are, like, you know, n number of customers to whom we are exporting our product. Or in domestic market, you know, our growth is again in mainly driven by nutrition, I mean, pharma business. So, I mean, those growth have contributed in compensating whatever, you know, the loss on account of one particular customer.
Yeah, actually, that's what I also noticed from the number and wanted to understand that, you know, it takes a lot of time to kind of get a product through the customer.
Yes.
And we have, you know, in the same segment, like if I see your human HC segment, it is nearly as a percentage of revenue, it is nearly same as compared to last year, in spite of the fact that the largest customer belonged to that segment and we lost that customer.
Yeah, so we have some other domestic customers, right?
Mm.
So
mm.
There the sale is, you know, really grown up.
Any specific factors that are driving
it? It is pharma. It is pharma. That's what I'm seeing in pharma segment. Okay. There is a good growth in that sense. Right. And then export also has gone up from India. So both put together has, you know, finally given us a incremental sale of about 244 million.
So in pharma, you know, in what kind of medicines do our product go? Any particular kind of?
Yes, we have, like, you know, anti-inflammatory enzymes, we have digestive enzymes, then we do have some probiotics. I mean, those are kind of, you know, products. So there are several other products which we supply to various pharma companies in India. And also we do exports. When we export, it is kind of in human nutrition. It's not pharma in that category, that's it.
Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shikha Mehta from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I had a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So in our last con call, we had suggested that we'd double our revenues over the next 3 to 5 years. So are we, after this whole COVID disruption, are we still on track for doing that? Do we maintain that guidance or?
I think Mukunji will answer your question. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Mukund?
I don't know. I think he's not audible or he's, we lost him.
Mukund Kabra, your line is in the talk mode. Mr. Mukund Kabra, are you able to hear us?
I think there's a loss of connection probably, or is he mute?
Sir, I'll just get his line.
Yeah, please.
All right, so in the meanwhile, I can ask you my next question.
Yeah.
So with this whole COVID crisis, the demand for preventive care has maybe increased because a lot of people are focusing on their immunity. So how do we see that panning out for our enzymes?
I think this is all business related. First, I think if we are able to connect to the Mukund, so I think it would be better if he answered those questions. And
All right.
if we are not able to connect, then I'll definitely answer your question.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the line for Mr. Mukund Kabra reconnected.
Yeah, please.
Yes, sir. So my first question was, on the last call, we had suggested we'd double our revenues over the next 3 to 5 years. So after the whole COVID disruption, does that still hold true for us, or are we extending the guidance, or?
Because at this point of time, we still think that we can achieve those guidance. Probably all the sales and other things might get delayed by 3 to 6 months, but we hope that we will cover during the coming days.
Right, sir. And my next question was about, because of coronavirus, everyone seems to be focusing on their immunities and are looking for preventive healthcare. So how does that pan out for our enzymes and our products? And do we have any new products in the pipeline?
We are working on this, Shika. We are getting a very positive response in the U.S. market. In Indian market, we are still not exactly into the nutritional areas because we still are getting categorized under the pharma.
Right.
Okay. So the situation is not really clear in the Indian market scenario as far as the health is concerned, but we feel that we are getting a good response in the U.S. market.
Right. Okay. And so we had our CapEx of around 100 crore for that R&D facility. So is that going to be deferred, or is that still happening?
Everything will be deferred by 6 to 8 months, Shika.
All right. Okay. And so as on FY20, we have around 200 crores in cash and cash equivalents. So do we have any specific cash management strategy, or just what exactly are we going to be using this for?
Shika, we want to use the cash for the growth, for the inorganic growth as well. We are actually searching for it. As of now, nothing to say, but we are actually pursuing for these opportunities.
All right, sir. Thanks. That's all from my end.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Jay Arora from Birchwood Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Mukund, I had two things in mind. Firstly, in order to boost our sales, can we think of going into supplements of prebiotics, probiotics, because we are already the manufacturer, so if we can, and I mean, in America, there are a lot of supplement-oriented companies who sell on Amazon. So if we could think of going from B2B to B2C category as well, can we think on those lines, or we plan to remain only as a manufacturers of enzymes?
So we are promoting probiotics very aggressively. We are working on B2B and working with all the different supplement areas on the probiotics. At the same time, we are growing also in the probiotics currently. Did I give you an answer, or you need like any specific one?
No, I mean to say, जैसे कि फिलहाल हमारा प्लान इज लाइक फ्रॉम 3 to 5 years के हमारी गाइडलाइंस थी टू डबल आवर सेल्स एंड 6-8 महीने तक, और हमारे पास कैश बैलेंस भी काफी है. तो आई वॉज जस्ट थिंकिंग, और आर वी मतलब हम क्या ये इंडस्ट्री के अंदर बींग अ मैन्युफैक्चर ऑफ एंजाइम, डज इट गिव अस द एज टू ग्रो एट 20% इन डबल डिजिट्स एवरी ईयर ऑन ईयर, और क्या हम कुछ और भी कर सकते हैं टू इंक्रीज आवर रेवेन्यू?
So We already said that we are working on biocatalyst area and probiotic area, and also like in the food areas, particularly into the bakery area and the animal food area. So probiotic fronts, when we talk about, we are talking about all the verticals, including food and food supplement and the other companies also we are eyeing, not only like just into the pharma or nutraceutical area.
Okay. See. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person is on the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening.
Good evening.
Just wanted to understand, do we capitalize some of our R&D expenses?
No, we don't capitalize any R&D expenses, except, whatever is related to our regulatory filing, because we need to file our dossiers for getting, those products registered in the countries where, they have this kind of requirement. So, we need to spend a lot of money. So those are expenses we have capitalized. So that is about, I think, 57 million so far we have capitalized in last couple of years. Other than that, all R&D expenditures are part of our P&L, except capital expenditure. Of course, if we spend some amount on equipments, that is part of our assets.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So because there is a sharp increase in the goodwill this year, from 271 crores, we moved to 294 crores.
Yeah, that happens because of, the currency difference. Because every year that has to be, valued at current rate, at 31st March year-end rate.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Fair point. Is there any visibility on the Q1 till now, in terms of logistics or employees, or what has been the kind of disruption for us? For Q1?
I think Mukundji will answer.
Sure, sir.
We have some disturbance in the month of April in India.
Okay.
In the month of April, we had certain logistical issues and certain disturbances. We are still not able to operate our R&D units in Thane, but our EVOX operations are going on. Our US operations are going on. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes, Mukund, please go ahead.
That May month, we are at normal.
Okay, okay. Fair point, sir. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MJ Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Most of my questions are already answered. Just wanted to check on this guidance for the company. As Mukund sir said that maybe in next 3-4 years we will be looking to double the revenue. Just wanted FY21 revenue guidance and margin guidance. And if you look at our last 7-8 quarters top line, it has been more or less a flattish kind of number. So where would be the visibility coming for growing in 3-4 years we are looking to double the revenue?
This year it is difficult to predict because I don't know what will happen in the next quarter, whether there will be the second wave of COVID and all the disturbance will again come back or not. We are not at this point of time very sure how the situation will pan out, and that is why we are not giving any guidance right now for this year. We will wait for the next quarter and then we'll come up. I can say that we will have decent this year. It's not very hard, but we will have a different this year. This is what, at this point of time, I can say that. The growth in the next 3 to 5 years, we still pursue the same verticals which we are talking again and again. The pharma areas, the food areas, and the animal area. In the pharma area, also, we think biocatalyst can be another one area, and also the probiotics. So these are the verticals, and probiotics can work as a horizontal vertical. which fits into all of our these areas, pharma, animal, and also like into the food areas. So from this three verticals, we expect to grow. Also, we will have some inorganic growth in the coming year.
Okay. Okay. And just wanted to look if going forward, I mean, for FY 21 also, what could be, if we are say we are expecting that there would be some pressure on this COVID thing and all that because of logistic issues or some other issues. So how we should be, what kind of factors would be impacting our margins going forward, or it will remain in these range? Is it the employee cost or the other expenses which will might pick up, or it will go in line with the cost numbers?
Right, our expenses are more or less constant, right? So it again depends on the sale number. So if sale is disturbed because of like some lockdowns or some other things which may come up with the second wave, we hope it should not come up, but unfortunately if it comes up and everything is again locked down, in those circumstances probably we might get like some hurt on the margin. Otherwise we expect that the margins and the top line should be more or less constant.
Okay. That's all for my time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, so I just had a couple of follow-up questions. So what is the capacity utilization for the full year?
Shikha, it is roughly the same, 45 to 50%.
Okay. And so our R&D cost as a percentage of sales?
I think R&D cost or the percentage of sales, what we do is we have spent on R&D. I'll just give you the numbers. About 21 crore, Shikha.
Okay.
So that you can take out, you know, of overall basis.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. That's all from me.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Vaibha Bajadia from HNI Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Pharma sales, because currently the pharma is in focus everywhere. So what is the total sales that we have done in this year to pharmaceutical companies?
So pharmaceutical, it is about 177 crore.
Okay, and last year was
about 160 crore.
160 to 177 crore.
Yes. So roughly, okay. You know, about 10% of growth.
Right. And, correct me if I'm wrong, I read somewhere that, this COVID testing, for this RT-PCR test, there is a test kit that is required. In that test kit, there is a function of an enzyme. Without that enzyme, the test doesn't work well. So are we anyway supplying those kind of enzymes, or we are just not in that enzymes and do not plan to or do not have the capability to address that problem?
We are not doing that. We are not supplying at this point of time. We do have capabilities to make any kind of enzymes, but at this point of time, that is not our focus area.
Sorry? Hello?
It's not our focus area, as of say, ever.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my end.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Manish Padar from Nippon AIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Manisha from Nippon AIF.
Sir, actually two couple of questions. So first thing was on this guidance which you're saying, let's say, you know, you double in the next, let's say 4 years. So, but if you look at your performance, let's say in the last 5 years at least, you know, if you look at our revenues have roughly grown at, you know, 10-11%, and, you know, last year performance was in, you know, high single digits. So can you probably elaborate, you know, what is changing, let's say, or, you know, what has, you know, probably because there was a lot of, you know, share structure which changed, you know, in, among the promoter groups. So what has really changed in stuff in terms of the operation or, let's say, you know, the thought process behind running the business? So first question is that, and then I have another one.
It's the focus which has changed. Earlier, we were like focusing on many areas. Now we consolidate our focus to 3 to 4 areas, which is our strength, and we believe that that will take us to that, because earlier we feel that we are missing the focus here.
Okay. Yeah, but so let's say in terms of, let's say, if I look at good, you know, F21, in terms of number of clients which you operate, is our objective to function with the same number of clients and get more well entrenched with them, or, you know, you want to increase the number of clients? Just want to understand, you know, broader.
Definitely, we will have to increase the number of clients.
It happens okay. Both ways, you know. You need to focus on increasing your customer base. You need to focus on increasing your, you know,
product as well.
Yeah.
And second thing, so you mentioned that you're running at 45-50% utilization, and
yeah.
If I look at your last year, you know, staff cost plus other expenses, roughly 160 crores full year, which is largely similar to what was FY19. So would it be fair that this is the cost base you really require to run the business, or, would this cost structure change, let's say, when you know, change in size and scale?
So some of the expenses, like, you know, those are variables, they change, right? But otherwise, you know, cost of the most of the expenses are kind of a fixed expenses. And now when you talk about employee costs, if you want to really increase your, you know, marketing reach, you want to increase your R&D efforts, then definitely, you know, you need to put more people. So there will be kind of, you know, some increase. This is always inbuilt in the, in a way, like, you know, you always think about 8-10% growth in, you know, your payroll cost, increase of payroll cost by 8-10%.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, expenses, as far as, you know, our operations are concerned, there are some variables, like, you know, if you utilize plant more, then there will be, you know, extra electricity charges, fuel cost, right? Some repairs will be additional, and you need to hire some more laborers if you want to really operate at 80%, 90% capacity where you have a lot of orders. So those are kind of a variable expenses, but otherwise, you know, most of the expenses are kind of, you know, fixed in that sense.
Okay, and just one small one, if I may.
Please.
Is there a way to track your revenues, or, you know, get a better handle on revenues? You know, from a growth perspective, let's say, you know, at what rate, you know, how should one get a better handle on the revenue front?
I mean, that's what we say. You know, you have to just by annual performance, not on quarter to quarter basis. So, you know, that's how you can track us. That's it.
No, I agree annual is the right number, but I'm just trying to understand, let's say, would, you know, 10% be the right number to for the industry or for the company to grow, or would 15 or, you know, 5 be the number? How should one decipher that? That is what I'm trying to gauge.
So if you look into the normal times or the other big peers, you will see that they are growing 3-4%.
Okay. Fine. Fine. Thanks. Yeah. I'll connect on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramesh Sabani, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. First question is about the current COVID situation. I mean, whether it is a positive thing or negative thing, or this neutral thing for the company or business in the mid to long term.
there are certain positive developments, there are certain negatives. We don't know what will pan out.
Okay, I mean, like in the broader sense, like it is a positive for pharma, that's what we are hearing. So can we classify advanced engines also will be get some benefits in the mid to long term from this COVID?
At this point of time, we think that yes, there will be some more positive and some negative. Positives will be ahead of negatives. That's what I can think at this point of time. The situation is very dynamic and fluid, and that is why it's like little difficult to predict.
Okay. Yeah, second question is based on your commentary, like whether our business is comes under essential category or not. Because you were saying like if there is a second wave and another lockdown enforced and it will be impact to the business. But if it comes under the essential category, I mean there should not be any major impact, am I correct?
We are in the essential category, so we just had a close down for 2-3 days at the beginning because the situation was not very clear. So we are working the whole time. It's not like that we are not working. But what we have faced is like sometimes the transporter is not picking the material or you are not getting the transport. Kind of all of those sort of issues. Or even you are working, your customers are not working. Some of them are closed. Some of their R&D units are still not working. So the product has to be approved in the R&D and then only it can move forward. But all the R&D work is being stalled because at the customer end also, like they are not working, their R&Ds are not working. So these are the certain few difficulties what we have faced. Certainly, like as I mentioned, like in the month of May, we are back to the normal. But yes, we face some problems in the month of April. And we don't know like how it will pan out the whole year. So.
Okay. Yeah, I have one final question if I can ask. It is about one consumer probiotic drink which is available in most of the supermarkets and online marketplaces in India. And it is called Yakult. Have you heard of that name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is about, I mean, do we anything under context, like do we supply any enzymes to such businesses? Or are we having any plan to introduce such consumer probiotic drink in India or elsewhere?
So we generally work with the company who supplies that and we supply the probiotics to them. We are working on those sort of areas, but as of now, nothing is concrete. But yes, we are working with all of different customers. So we don't plan to go directly from B2C, but yes, we are from B2B.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, one final question. It is about the competition, Novozymes. So are we gaining market share from them or... as they are the leader in the industry, they are gaining from us. Because you said we lost one customer. Like, so coming to that big customer, did that customer go to our competition or?
We are not very clear. Some of the business they lost, probably we are still not sure. Like it was more of like M&M customer, not M&M customer. Totally, what you call it then?
So, I mean, you know, as such, these companies are not exactly, you know, in the space where we are. Like, you know, we are in the nutrition business. Novozymes is not in that business in that sense.
Okay.
So, that is, you know, as such, we don't have any hands-on competition as such with them. So, our major so business...
Novozymes has different areas. We do have our niche areas. So, we directly don't compete with Novozymes directly.
Okay, then in that case, just one question. If you want to, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you want to name one competitor for our business, who would be that one? Be it India or elsewhere? I think you don't have any in India.
So there is no one competitor, let me tell you, because we operate in, you know, human nutrition. So human nutrition is one area where, like, you know, we don't see any competitor as such. Because we operate in different verticals in that sense. So human nutrition, animal nutrition, we have bioprocessing where we supply our enzymes to for food processing. Then there is the industrial enzyme. So industrial enzyme may be, you know, the biggest you know, contributor for Novozymes where they are operating in detergent segment where we don't have any presence. So there is no apple to apple comparison with any, you know, competitor who is kind of in the business in which we are. We are fully integrated in the sense, and we operate, you know, on different technology, which is sub-bus technology, solid technology, and we cater to most of the industry in that sense. So, I mean, you know, there is no other competitor per se where we can compare. Like, you know, earlier Biocon used to be there, but then they sold their industrial enzymes to Novozyme. Then they have some kind of, you know, pharma enzymes. So to some extent, our business to some extent is comparable with the business in which they also operate. So Novozyme, maybe, you know, we compete for a couple of, you know, I can say category of products, which may be going for, you know, animal nutrition. But not exactly, you know, apple to apple comparison is not possible as far as competition is concerned.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thanks both of you. Thanks a lot and all the best for the next.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avishi Chaplot from First Water Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question was on the U.S. sales. We do see a clear drop in quarter four on YOY basis. It has come down from 46% to 38%. So any particular reason behind that?
So are you talking about our U.S. business?
Yes, the U.S. business.
So last quarter, we did not have any sale from, you know, one of our topmost customers. So that is only the reason in the drop. Otherwise, U.S. business is grown by about 10%.
Okay, so the geography split, that shows it is at 38% for quarter four compared to 46% in FY19 quarter four. So that's
right.
1%. Okay.
Yeah, so that is a drop basically, no?
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Both the effect, like India has gone up and US has gone down because of the top customers. So the overall mix has changed.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So you recently commented something around inorganic growth. Are we looking at buying out some companies, like some M&A opportunity?
Yes, if there is some possibility, then definitely, you know, we will definitely evaluate such options.
Okay. But so there's nothing on the radar right now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actual search, but nothing is.
Okay. Fair point, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Harsh Bhatia from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. I joined the call a bit late. So if you could just re-provide the top product and top client contribution versus last year. Thanks.
So top product and top is last year, you know, we had about 721 million and this year it is about 388 million. But if you're talking about the product, I missed this point. Let me again, you know, rephrase this. You're talking about the topmost product, correct?
Yeah, top product as well as top client contribution.
Top client custom is that I think I explained you. As far as top product, topmost product is concerned, that let me give you the numbers. So it is about 1035 million. And I think there is a growth of about 8% on FY19 numbers. So this 1035 is about 108% in that sense.
Okay, all right. Thanks. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gopinath Reddy, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir, this is related to the loss of the big customer from US. Is it something that we got a hard order that got deferred, or we lost the order? And is the loss of order something related to COVID, or nothing related to this?
Gopinathji, there is no clarity, but at this point of time, we don't hold any order in hand.
Is it better now, sir?
Sorry?
Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. My question is the loss of the customer, the big customer from US, is it because of Corona, or is it something completely unrelated and it's a loss of business, or a deferment of an order?
So, Gopinathji, we don't have much of clarity at this point of time. Right? Is it because of Corona? Is it will we even lost them, or their business is lost, or what has happened?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Vineet Shah from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, Raukaji and Mukunji, what is the product launch plan for FY21?
So, Raukaji, will you answer?
So, I think you please take this. Product launch, he is talking about.
So, generally, we don't launch a single product. The products are more or less like mixed, because we operate more on the solution side rather than just the product. As you know, like, we have a basket of more than 65 enzymes and more of the probiotics. So most of the products are being mixed. We constantly develop new enzymes. Every year we add 3 to 4 different enzymes in our portfolio, in our armory, I can say that. But it's more to do with the application there. So we are working into the more like the biocatalyst areas, as I mentioned earlier too, right? And the probiotic areas, these are our like main focus areas. At the same time, we are going with a lot of like registration in the animal food areas. In the bakery areas, we do have some new good products which we were like about to launch or like start the sales, but unfortunately, because of the COVID, everything got delayed. So we expect a 6-month delay into those areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, it seems that you've booked nil revenues for this top product in the fourth quarter. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, from that particular customer.
The top product whose sales we are reporting as 388 million in FY20, this is essentially just 3 quarters.
Yes, right.
Understood. And is there a impact analysis that you've done on the demand environment in the US of whatever is happening right now? Like in one of the comments, Mukunji mentioned that, there is more positive in the COVID crisis for us. If you can just elaborate a little bit on the demand environment for human nutrition in the US.
On the human and nutrition side, so we are getting good orders, but at this point of time, it is not very clear whether the customers are building their inventories because of like uncertainties, or it's the real demand. So we can't comment at this point of time on that front. But I can see like some of the pharma companies are giving orders to the Indian pharma companies, and we are getting like some orders because of that. So I think those are certain positive areas which we can see, but we don't know how the situation will pan out. There will be more orders to the pharma companies, or those orders will get reduced, or how it will work out.
Understood. This industrial processing, the fourth quarter has seen a sharp improvement in the run rate. Is this run rate sustainable of 19 crores a quarter, or is there some bunching up there and we shouldn't look at the quarterly number? Or is this because of some new products?
Can you please repeat?
Sir, this industrial processing, this number that you share with us of enzymes used in industrial processing, it has seen a sharp jump in the fourth quarter. In this 19 crore number that you reported for the fourth quarter, is there any one-off in this, or is this run rate, quarterly run rate, sort of sustainable for us?
Is it industrial 19 crore for this quarter?
So he's talking about, you know, that bioprocessing food and non-food both, right?
So, okay, yes, so sir, total. Those numbers are, yeah, so it's not a one runway. We have a good growth in those areas. So we think that it can be sustainable.
This, okay, this number is sustainable, sir. This absolute number is sustainable.
Yes.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Ramesh Sabani, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me another opportunity. I have one question about this foreign portfolio of foreign investors. The hard being made institution. So they have got more than 10% holding in our business, right? And they also have a portfolio for different healthcare companies under their umbrella. So are they like getting in with the management very frequently and guiding or getting to know about the business, something like that? And in the future, they may ask for any board seat, anything like that?
Yes, they're you know, representative, Dr. Sunny is on our board. So he's definitely contributing a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mukund Kabra for his closing comments.
Friends, thank you so much for your participation and asking some very good questions, and we appreciate your support and cooperation throughout and look forward to working with you. Thank you, all the shareholders. We really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.